This is a Ecclesiastes, the speaker in Ecclesiastes, he's basically asking questions. So it's really a book of questions. And what he discovers in asking all of his questions, well, let's step back for a moment. Whoever this speaker is, some say it was Solomon, whoever this speaker is not willing to take anything on faith, is not willing to believe something's true merely because it's been handed down, or because it's in a book somewhere, or because it's what people think. He's not willing to accept anything on those terms. He's only willing to accept what his reason can comprehend. And if his reason can't comprehend something, then he's going to reject it, no matter how popular a view it might be. He's a mind with a lot of questions. And the basic fundamental answer to his questions is that there are no answers to your questions. The ways of God are completely inscrutable. You'll never understand them. He said, even the wise know they haven't plumbed the very depths of it. It's beyond understanding. Whatever it is, it's inscrutable. And yet it exists, he thinks. It exists. And it's organized the universe in such a way that there's time for everything. And you've all probably, a lot of you have heard the song years ago, Turn, 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 the lyrics of which are out of the book of Ecclesiastes, which basically says there's a time for peace, and a time for war, and a time for life, and a time for death, and a time for happiness, and a time for sorrow. And these are just facts of life. For anyone who takes a look, and for anyone who's lived a while, you know it personally. You know, happiness, sadness, you know, youth, age, war, peace. So there's a time for everything, he says, under the sun. What he also notices is that even though we have some recollection of the past, individually, we all have some recollections of what we call the past, the meanings that we assign to those recollections are solely our own. In that sense, they're empty. And we have our wishes and projections and hopes for the future. And those two, he says, are empty. And the reason they're empty is because we don't know what the future is. Not one of us in this room, or any other room, he says. You just don't know. And some of you know you don't know what the future is because you've experienced a future you didn't expect. And if you've experienced a future you didn't expect, not necessarily a big future, it might have just been like today at 10. You know, well, I didn't expect this to be, this wasn't part of my plan. So there is a future and man doesn't know what it is. There's only one thing he knows about it for sure. And that is that at some point he'll no longer be a part of it. That's the certainty. It's a given. None of us know if we're going to live through today. None of us know if we're going to be happy tomorrow. He says, if you're happy, enjoy it, for it will not last. He said, if you're sad, try to accept it, for it will not last. Even if you're sad, every day in between now and your moment of death, the sadness will not last because death will wipe it out. The enemy, he says, he doesn't really think it's the enemy, but for most people, the enemy is time. The enemy is time. There's just no stopping it. It just keeps ticking away. And we all probably had those moments, like in Faust, where he says, stay this moment. He's having a peak experience, and he wants it to just stay there. And it just won't. The clock keeps ticking, and just time keeps moving. And it has no beginning, and it has no end. And it wipes out everything. And if you start thinking about it, which he recommends, you'll lose your orientation. You'll start to wonder, what the hell is this all about? I'm just here in this world, and there are all these things happening, and they've all happened before, he says. And those of you who read a little history know they've all happened before, and they're all happening now, and they'll all continue to happen. All the good stuff in quotes and all the bad stuff in quotes. There's nothing new under the sun, he says. And by that he doesn't mean that there have been computer chips before. What he means in saying there's nothing new under the sun, he's referring to wisdom. And whatever wisdom is, it's always been that. It always will be that. It's never new. But human experience, individual human experience, nothing new under the sun. Human experience, different. Although probably none of us in this room have had an experience that hasn't been had by millions of other human beings before us. Also, the idea of nothing new under the sun is speaking more in terms of theory than in practice. In terms of ideas, capital I, rather than individual lives. He says the realization of the perception of emptiness, and that it doesn't involve. He's not saying that nothing exists. He's saying what exists is temporary. What exists is impermanent. What's going to exist is unknown. That's emptiness. So he's not saying all this isn't going on. It is going on. But what he's saying is it's changing. It's impermanent. It's discontinuous. We don't remember most of it. How much of your life do you actually remember? There's a few things here and there. There are great big empty places. Well, I know I was alive back. I know I was alive in 55, but I can't remember it. True enough. And if you could remember it, he says, it wouldn't matter to anyone but you. Yeah. Or it's not going to matter to the person sitting next to you. Yeah. So what we have here is a mind that wants to understand, coming up against a universe that's inscrutable.